All right, take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to read verses 5 through 8 together. I'll pray, we'll have a special, and then I'll come back and try to preach and help us a little bit this morning. By the way, we have somebody getting baptized today, too.
Amen.
You know, and then all those years, Brother Stoltz was here and prayed with us, and men, those of you men at men's prayer breakfast, we begged God. This morning I was thinking, Brother Stoltz is talking to Jesus face to face about our church today. He gotten, pardon me, I'm going to put it in redneck terms, he gotten Jesus's grill this morning. Got in his face, amen, and said, you help him down there. Good night. We had full bus, four visitors, and one getting baptized today. I'd say he did a pretty good job talking to Jesus today.
Amen.
2 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to read verses 5 through 8 together. We'll read this responsively. And David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, they have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master's Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you this morning. Our church needs you. We need the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come. We need you to speak through your words, through your man, to give us what we all need. Lord, I'm a sinner. Unfortunately, time's a pretty bad one. But I need you. I need you to work through me to help our people today. I hope that they know how much I love them. Lord, we're heavy. We're hurting. We need you in a special way. Use the music, use the sermon today to help us today, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me have your undivided attention. Brother Barnes, just a titch more volume. It's my voice, not the setting. With singing and teaching and things, it's just a little bit less than normal. I want to help our church today. I want to help you today. And may I say this, I want to help me today. I need it. I'm preaching to me this morning. I'd like you to listen in a little bit, and I want you to find comfort today. Israel, here in 2 Samuel chapter 2, is hurting. They're grieving. The first king of Israel, King Saul, and his son Jonathan have been killed in battle. And by the way, Saul had been king for 40 years. We're not talking about somebody that was just a 3 or 4 year term. This is 40 years of leadership. Saul was a good man. Saul started off as a very goodly man. Can you imagine being, it would be like George Washington is to our country. He had that type of reputation when he started. Now, Saul had made some bad decisions and had done some things that kind of thwarted some of it, but I think the goodness of Saul was still the general tenor of his life. Israel hurts. They lost their leader. They lost someone they loved. And by the way, David had already been anointed king years before. But he was waiting for Saul to leave the throne. He wasn't going to fight his way into leadership. David loved King Saul.
That's right.
David loved Jonathan, Saul's son. They were best of friends. Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:1 that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and they too became one soul. They were very close. They were like brothers. Maybe even tighter in some ways, because most brothers aren't that close. But David also was a citizen. You have to understand, David lost his king too. David was not happy that he lost his friend, lost his king, lost the leadership in his kingdom. And now it is time for David to step up and take the throne. It is now time for David to stand up with a hurting heart and say, I got to help lead these people. David had no desire to hurt anybody. David had no desire to, as kings would do often in this time, go in and kill the entire family of the previous king. Kill all of his children, kill all of his wives and grandchildren and whoever from his family that was blood related to get to the throne. Often they would come in and just kill everybody so that there wasn't an opportunity for an insurrection or an overthrow of the new government. David said, no, not going to do that. Matter of fact, one of Saul's men disloyally grabbed one of Saul's other sons, it says in verse 8, but Abner, the son of Ner, what a neat name, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. Find out for a couple of years, Ishbosheth claimed to be king in his daddy's stead, but his influence went down as David's went up. Finally, David said, look, just go on your way. God anointed me king, not you. He said, I'm not going to kill you, but just take off. Now, wait a minute. David understood. Israel was hurting at the loss of Saul and Jonathan. Why should he add sorrow to it and kill more people? Why would we add sorrow to people that are already sorrowful? Why should we cause more grief, more pain, more death in light of the death and pain we've already had? Now, listen to me very carefully. Our church is grieving. Our church is in pain. Brother Stoltz suddenly, without warning, had his own personal rapture on Friday. It's about that shocking. He's left a big hole in our church. He's left a big hole in our hearts. But as we said, sitting in this living room on Friday afternoon, Rich didn't die, he just changed addresses. Brother Stoltz did not die. His body did, but he changed addresses. Now, we can't send him mail. We can't email. Maybe H-mail, amen? Heavenly mail. They've got Gmail, but they don't have H-mail yet. But we can't email him. We can't text him. But he's there. He's alive. Matter of fact, he's more alive now than he was on Thursday. He's more alive than he was at the hot picnic on Wednesday, leading songs with his guitar. He's left a hole in our church and in our hearts. Good night. Brother Stoltz was bus captain. He was our teen Sunday school teacher and youth man. He was the song leader. Oh, what a hole that is. He helped with our special music. Brother Stoltz was a deacon and a trustee and a check signer. He's on business-wise for our church. He helped in those areas. And just a multitude of other things, just so you know. He just, preacher, what do you need? Preacher, what do you need? He was just one of those kind of people. First of all, I want to say something, and I want everybody to listen. God's not on trial because Brother Stoltz died and went to heaven. Right. Who are we to say, God, you shouldn't have done that? We have no right to say that. None whatsoever. Say, well, preacher, it doesn't make sense to me. Quit trying to play God. I have no desire to question it. I do know this, we're all sinners. Yes, sir. I do know this, because we're all sinners, we're all going to die. Yeah. I do also know this. None of us know when it is. Say, well, I don't understand why bad people live longer than a good man like Brother Stoltz. I don't understand it either. But I'm not God. How can I understand that? Amen. Brother Stoltz is no less of a sinner than the bad person you're thinking about. Brother Stoltz is a very good man that loved God and loved serving God, but may I say this, Brother Stoltz was a sinner too. I've used his illustration many a time. Brother Stoltz wasn't a good man when he was a young man. Many of you, if you would have known him when he was these young people's age, you wouldn't have liked him. You wouldn't have been hanging out with your kids. But when Brother Stoltz got saved, he changed. But he was still a sinner. Now listen to me. We're not to judge God about this. God didn't sin. We do. Everybody get that? And just so you know, I don't find anywhere in Scripture where it says that God pulls the lever on life. It says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I think there are times when God needs to remove somebody early in life because of rebellion. I also know that according to Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother in the Lord, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That doesn't say that your years may be, it says that your days may be. Doesn't say that your life is necessarily extended. It means you get more out of each day you get because you were wise enough to obey your parents. We misteach that sometimes. Now, I think God can extend our lives. I think God can shorten our life. But I do know this, God, there's an appointed time for every human being to die. Like it or lump it. Brother Joe, I'm going to die someday. So are you. We're all going to face it. Barring the rapture. God knows, since Friday, about 2:30, I've been praying for the rapture before church today. Lord, just take us all out of this mess. Don't blame God. Don't get yourself in a wad over the fact that God, or whatever, that Brother Stoltz died. And by the way, if you knew why, is it going to change anything? He's not going to get up off the table or out of the box and come here. If he does, I'm out of here. Just so you know. My first youth pastor, he's a man that's been pastoring many years. He was here this last summer. I was a teenager. I started preaching 38 years ago this month. He used to say, when in doubt, do what Jesus did. If you don't know what to preach, preach what Jesus did. That was great. I was going to do my first funeral. 23 years old, 24 years old. I'm in California, Brother Mike. Got a funeral to do. Do you know that every funeral Jesus went to, everybody got up out of the grave or walked away from it? I got him on the phone. I said, that's not funny. I can't do that. He said, now you got to study. I said, I did. That's the problem. I can't do what Jesus did. Not going to happen. Now, I cannot bring Brother Stoltz back. By the way, he wouldn't come back even if we wanted him to. Heaven is that much greater of a place. I can't fix the problem. As your preacher, I fail. I can't fix it. My wife knows the thing that hurts me most is I can't fix this. I can't take your hurt away. If I could be the one to pick everybody's hurt up and put it on me, I would. I really would. But I can't. I can show you what God says, how to help us get through the hurt, though. I can show you what God says, how we're supposed to deal with it. That's what I'm going to do today. Number one, listen to this statement. There is no end to grief, but there can be an end to the emotion controlling your grief. Let me say that again. There is never an end to grief, but there can be an end to where you don't allow emotion to control your grief. How many of you have lost somebody to death years ago? Raise your hand. How many of you still miss that person and still grieve from time to time? Grief doesn't end. You can't end the fact that grief is there. But you can end the fact that it does not have to control your emotions at every part of your life. Does everybody understand that statement?
You say, how? Don't run away. First thing people want to do when they're hurt is run and hide. Get like a wounded animal and you just want to run away and crawl up somewhere and curl up and just hide from everything. That will not fix anything. It won't help anything. Next thing we want to do is wallow in our self-pity. Oh, woe is me, it hurt so bad. Let me call 20 other people and say it hurt so bad. Before too long, you have 20 people hurting as bad as you're hurting because you won't quit wallowing in it. If the pig falls in the mud, you don't have to go in the mud and be like the pig. And then you want to complain the fact that you're muddy. So you stay in the mud because you went to the mud. Everybody doing okay? Everybody, listen to me. We all hurt. If I came to the church this morning and I stood behind this pulpit and I got up and did nothing but blubber and cry like I want to, it's not going to help anybody. I have cried. I will continue to. But I'll choose when it is. Everybody doing okay? I'm not going to let it control me. I will control when I do that. Don't live guilty.
Well, the last thing I said to Brother Stoltz wasn't real nice. I wished I had it to take back. You can't live your life that way. Brother Stoltz didn't hold anything against anybody.
I have a voicemail on the church voice recording right now of a young person in Mexico. Weeping and sobbing, she got the news that Brother Stoltz had passed away. I can show you the email on my phone that I emailed back with her for about an hour last night. She ran away from God in the last few months. Told Brother Stoltz, leave me alone. I don't need God. I can do things my way. I hear her voice on our voicemail this morning. She's sobbing. I can read you the text to the email where she was saying, preacher, I need help. I'll never get a chance to tell Brother Stoltz I'm sorry. I said, oh, he just hurt you. Don't worry. But can I tell you what I told her? Don't live your life in guilt. Fix it and go on. Fix it and go on. Don't live in remorse. Can I tell you something? You know, I have nothing to be remorseful over. I love Brother Stoltz. Now, Brother Stoltz and I didn't see eye to eye on everything. You'd never know it. I'm not going to tell you what it was. It wasn't a big issue. But I don't live in remorse. the last words I said to him in person. We were at the picnic Wednesday. Everybody was getting ready to leave. Marcia, you were still there. A few people still there. I walked over, put my arm on his shoulder, and I said, Doc, I sure do love you. I said, I'm so glad you're here. Glad Susan came today. Hope you all had a good time. He said, oh, preacher was great. He said, it was just great. He said, I can't wait for Sunday. Well, he got Sunday, but it was S-O-N day, not S-U-N day. Those are the last words face-to-face I spoke to him. I'm glad the last thing I said to him was, I love you. But can I tell you something? Even if it wasn't, I'm not going to live in remorse and regret. I'm not. I refuse to live in remorse and regret. I decided I'll live the best I can from this moment on and do something in his honor and his memory. I'm not going to let the emotion control me. I will control the emotion, and I'll take time on a regular basis to remember him, to think about him. I'll get emotional from time to time, but I'm not going to let those emotions control me. Schedule a time to hurt. Schedule a time for grief. Number two. The Bible says, David, in all these hurting people, he said in verse number 6, and now the Lord show thee kindness and truth unto you, and I will also requite this kindness, this one thing have I done. Therefore, now let your hands be strengthened. What do you do with your hands? You work. Amen. Everybody look at me. Worst thing for you to do is give up. That's right. Get into schedule the best you can. If you got to get up and go to work tomorrow, you get up and go to work tomorrow. If you don't work at home, you work at home and get things done that need to get done, and don't sit there in a puddle of tears and cry. You get the work done. You schedule when you grieve.
Get back to a routine. May I say this?
We ought to strengthen our hands to do the work. And everybody listen to this statement. Brother Stoltz filled so many positions around here. Some of you need to strengthen your hand and decide you're going to pick up some of the load that he left behind. There's a work at Grace Baptist Church that needs done. And many people need to step up and help us carry the load. There's going to need to be people step up and go soul winning. There's going to need to be people step up and say, I'll help with the bus route. I'll help with the music. There are some of you that are musically inclined. I didn't say declined, I said inclined. Some of you can sing. Brother Lopez came to me and said, Brother Bush, I'm not Brother Stoltz, but I'll do my best to keep the choir going. That on his own. Well, I need choir members. I need some of you men to step up and say, I'll sing. I'm not one of them. All right? But you say, well, preacher, what about, well, if you're good enough song singing, I could use some help leading songs. Oh, I don't know if I could do it. We'll find out. I'm not going to embarrass you. You can't embarrass yourself any worse than I've embarrassed myself. That's for sure.
It may be that you need to help in some other area. I challenged the teenagers today. Do something. Some of these teenagers are going to step up on the bus route and start helping with Mrs. Lopez on the bus route and working, getting people to come to church. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If the teenagers can do it, how about us? I won't use the term I used with them. Older folks.
That was Sunday school, not church. It wasn't recorded. This is. Say, what was it? See one of the teenagers after church? Not now, all right? Say, preacher, I can't believe. Yes, you can.
Some of you just need to decide you're going to do something Brother Stoltz taught you to do. Amen. How many of you have heard, other than our visitors, probably everybody in this room, heard me use a name, Dr. Jack Hiles?
Amen.
Can I tell you why? Because I promised him 20 years ago that I would keep his memory alive as a loving, godly man. I was tired of people criticizing him. I said, "Preacher, I can't do much for you, but I'll probably live longer than you, if you don't kill me first. I'll live longer than you, and I'll spend the rest of my ministry letting people know how much you truly love people and love God." Guess what? He's been dead for 17 years, and I'm still doing what I said I'd do. I still get to share that. Some of you could do that for Brother Rich Stoltz.
Amen.
Some of you could say, "I'm going to step up and do something." Maybe you can't ride the bus on Sunday, but you could go out, help on the bus route on Saturday. Great. Maybe you can't be on the bus, but you could pick up and help in music. Maybe you could help in some other area. Maybe you could help in junior church. Maybe you could help in the nursery. But I need you to step up and help fill some of the slots that he did. I can't do it all myself. Just so you know, I just got a new job title. I'm now youth pastor. Just so you know, I got another job title. I'm now song director. I'm good with it. I'll fill all I can. Now, I can't use the git fiddle and the harmonica and sing at the same time like he did. I can't even play the harmonica with my nose like he did. It would be full of boogers. All right? But but I will say this. I'm going to step up and do what I can do. How about you?
Amen.
Are you going to let Brother Stoltz die and go to heaven and just let him rot in the grave and do nothing with what he gave you? Or are you going to take it and do something with it? Everybody in here could go get somebody and bring them to church and get them in here on a regular basis in honor of Brother Stoltz.
Amen.
Brother Mike, I get a little sick and tired of driving around town seeing these little signs on the back of a car. In loving memory of so-and-so, here's when they lived, here's when they died, and they went out and bought a car in memory of somebody. I'm not saying it's sinful to do that, but how about you go out and grab a sinner and say, "Hey, why don't you come to church with me in honor of a man that I knew? His name is Brother Rich Stoltz."
Amen.
Get them saved, get them in church, and get them growing and reproduce what Brother Stoltz put into you. That's called strengthening your hands for the work. Everybody doing all right? So number one, there's no end to grief, but you can end its control on your emotions. Number two, strengthen your hands with work. Number three, be valiant. The Bible says, "Be ye valiant." You say, "What does that mean?" Everybody look at me. It means keep doing right. And keep doing right strongly. Brother Rich Stoltz was a man of strength. Can I tell you why? He lived by principle. He lived by Bible principle. I've watched Brother Stoltz go through many deaths. In his family, of his friends, heroes. He didn't give up. He kept doing right. I'm going to walk very sensitively right here. I need everybody to listen like big boys and big girls and not run your mouth thinking you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you probably don't. But just listen to me for a second. Brother Stoltz even had to take a stand against his own personal family. He stood alone at times, even in his family. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to stand up and do what's right because it's right to do, not just because all your friends are doing something? Brother Stoltz made a stand to come be a member of this church and work in this church. I will not go into that. You don't need to know what, why, when, where, how, to what extent. But he took a stand to do so. By the way, he did it right. He didn't cause a fuss.
Everybody doing all right? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to stand for right even when it hurts? It's time for us, while we hurt, to stand for what's right. By the way, you're looking at a preacher that believes in loving people that don't do right.
Did you hear that? I believe in loving people that don't do right. Doesn't mean I have to spend every minute of the day with them, but I believe in loving them. I believe in being able to preach to them and give them the truth.
They may not understand it all, but it doesn't matter. Being valiant, Brother Rich Stoltz was a valiant man because he stood strong, and he stood for what was right. Everybody doing okay? Some of you young people, you better find some biblical principles to stand on that he taught you. Some of you are going to go the wrong direction because you're going to follow the wrong people because you're following the wrong principles. Number four. I didn't give you this. God did. Take your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 2, where we were. Verse number 7. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. Number four,
follow godly leadership. I didn't say somebody in a spiritual position. I said godly leadership.
Amen.
Just because someone has a title doesn't mean they're holy.
That's right.
The Pope is called the most holy reverend, and the only thing holy is his socks.
Can I tell you something? Maybe you want to do something and preacher needs you to do something else. Don't get mad and offended and turn tail and run and hide.
Well, I wanted to do this. I didn't want to do that.
Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you. Don't get offended if you don't get to do the very thing you wanted to do. How about you just decide you're going to do something? Everybody doing all right? It's amazing what can get done if we don't care what the title or what the position is.
It's amazing how many people seek a title or a position. Somebody may get a position you wanted. But guess what? Maybe it wasn't what God wanted and it wasn't what you needed at the time.
Doesn't mean it's never going to be available for you. But it just isn't the right time. And by the way, everybody look at me for a second here. I want every eyeball, God-given eyeball, looking at me here for a second.
The preacher may ask you to do something. If you tell me no, it's okay. I'm not going to get mad at you. I might say, is there a reason why? But I'll never be upset because you say no, just so you know. Say, well, who's going to do it? I'll find it. I'll get it. I can put more hours in, don't worry.
Can I say something? Follow godly leadership. David said, why don't you follow who God anointed? Not who man wants, but who God wants. We need to do what's best, not what others say. Everybody listen to me.
I'm not going to Facebook to find out what our church is supposed to do right now. Brother Harry, I haven't called other pastors to find out what I'm supposed to do today. I didn't call anybody for advice. You say, why? None of their business. This is what we got to get through. Now, I know preacher friends that know Brother Stoltz, that I notified them about it. But I didn't say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend. I don't know how we're going to get through this. Could you help me? Well, I've been through this. Told somebody the other day,
I can't believe I'm about to say this. I never understood why Brother Hiles would say I'm a grizzled old veteran. But now I'm a grizzled old veteran and I'm starting to understand it. Why don't you trust somebody that's been down this road a few times? I'm not calling other churches to find out what we're supposed to do. Neither should you. Well, I talked to so-and-so, and they said if they were in your position, this is what they would do. Number one, they're unethical for giving their advice. Number two, you weren't real smart for seeking it. Number three, I didn't look for it, so it doesn't matter to me. Everybody doing all right? Well, I know Pastor so-and-so, and this is what he would have done. So, he doesn't pastor Grace Baptist Church. Sorry. He may have been a good person, but it's not what, not his church. He doesn't know the needs of our people like God has given me the needs of our people for. Well, that's not the way it was done in the church 20 years ago where I was at. Well, number one, it's not 20 years ago. Number two, it's not the church where you were 20 years ago because this church hadn't been a church for 20 years. Everybody doing all right? And 20 years ago, things were a whole lot different than they are today. There was no such thing as Facebook.
Thank God.
Can I tell you something? And please don't take this as arrogance, but why don't you trust me to help lead us the direction we need to go? Amen. I'll follow what this book says, I promise you. If I don't, it's okay to disobey. But just because I don't do it necessarily the way you think it ought to be done doesn't mean it's not biblical. Yes, sir. Number five, and I'm done. Let me run through the first four. Number one, there's no end to grief, but you can end its control on your emotions. Number two, strengthen your hands by work. Number three, be valiant, keep doing right. Number four, follow godly leadership. Number five, walk with God. Let me ask you a question. How much have you been in your Bible and how much have you prayed in the last 2 days? Before you go off half-cocked about how preacher doesn't know what he's doing, how much have you been in your Bible? How much time have you spent walking with God? Everybody doing okay? How about we walk with God by being in church every time we get a chance? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. Yes, sir. Get faithful. Get involved. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And he sat right there. And if he were sitting there right now, I'd say the same thing. You're not to serve God because Brother Stoltz did. You're supposed to serve God because of the God he served. You're not supposed to do something just for Brother Stoltz. How about you do it for the God Brother Stoltz served? Amen. Why don't you do it for the same reason he did, and that was to please God? Everybody doing okay? There are people in this room, you would be on your way to hell had it not been for Rich Stoltz. Promise you. There are people in this room, if you would have fallen over dead before you met Rich Stoltz, you would have died and gone to hell because you weren't saved. But because of him and his influence, you came and got saved. Can I tell you something? Who's going to die and go to hell because you won't do what he did? Or who's going to die and go to heaven because you'll stand up and do what he said do? We need to learn to walk with God. It's not always going to make sense. Can I tell you why? Because you're looking at it through sinful eyes. God says, your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts, my thoughts are above thy thoughts. Yeah. Young people, living the Christian life doesn't sound right to the world. Listen to the old man. I've seen how the world lives, don't live that way. You're just some old fuddy-duddy.
You're an old, don't use the word. No, I may be old, but may I say something? I've experienced more life than most people twice my age. I've picked people up out of the gutters. I've watched them die. I have watched people die and go to hell. And it's not pretty. Wally, you know I've talked about that from time to time. She was a nurse. And, ugh. I'll never forget the first person I watched die that died and went to hell. He was a man. He began to scream. He said, "Oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm burning. Oh my God, I'm in hell." And he took his last breath, and that was it. And I mean screaming. That's 27, 28 years ago, and I still can't get it out of my head. I've seen it too many times. I don't want to live that way. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't get into ministry and follow God because of Rich Stoltz, but I thank God I got to be in the ministry with Brother Rich Stoltz because I served the same God he served. Now, today, instead of us praying together, I prayed, but he was talking to Jesus face to face. Bum. I told Susan on Friday, I said, "You know, I'm a little mad at Rich right now." She looked at me, she kind of giggled. She said, "What for, Brother Bush?" I said, "Because he was supposed to sing at my funeral. Now, I got to sing at his funeral." We began to laugh. I said, "No, seriously, he already knew which songs I wanted sung at my funeral." I said, "This isn't right." And we kind of joked about it a little bit for a while. Huh. Maybe you need to learn to give like Brother Stoltz gave. Your time. Give of your love. Give of your money. There's not a person in here that did not know the giving of Brother Rich Stoltz. Not a one of you. Preacher, where are we going with this? That's how God said we're supposed to respond when we're grieving. We have to realize the grief won't end, but it can end controlling us. We have to strengthen our hands. We have to be valiant. We need to walk with God. We need to do all those things. Say, how are we going to get through this? That way. One step at a time. One step at a time. Everybody look at me and I'm done. What are you going to do? Will you step up? Will you pick up an area? Maybe not even know what the area is, but say, I'm ready to volunteer. If you're not sure you're saved, how about you get saved? If you haven't been walking with God, how about you come to an old-fashioned altar and get on your face and say, I'm going to get right with the Lord because of the influence of a Rich Stoltz. But I'm not going to get right with Brother Stoltz. I'm going to get right with the God of Brother Stoltz. And I'm going to walk with the God that Brother Stoltz walked with. I'm going to serve the God that Brother Stoltz served. Maybe it is you want to step up into an area. You don't even know what it is yet, but you're just going to volunteer. I don't know what it is, but everybody in here has a need today. And I just gave you God's recipe on how to get through it. I promise you. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? You may put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, and I won't embarrass you, who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. I'm not sure, preacher. I'd like somebody to know that. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, there's an area in my life that sermon affected me by, and I'm going to do something about it. Would you raise your hand? You may put your hands up and down.